Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to be able to share with the world, to let them know that I can't live, I can't breathe, neither can I move without you.
Without you in my life, I can't
can't go on, Jesus. I can't go on with you without you in my life, Jesus. Hallelujah. And this is how I want my life to be then. My life is so tangled in Jesus that I can't live and I can't move without him in my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good afternoon or good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I thank you for joining us on today. But before we get into the Word of God, we want to go into prayer. We want to ask God to come in. We want to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth. We want to ask the Holy Spirit to rebuke all error, but to allow the Spirit of truth to come in that we might know the Word of God, and not only know the Word of God, but obey the Word of God. Hallelujah. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you, Lord God, lifting up this broadcast to you, Father God. Father, I lift this broadcast up to you and ask you to forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings, Father, that you will forgive us for everything that we have said and done that was not pleasing to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, God, hallelujah, that you will just use this broadcast, Father, that souls will be healed in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that you will use this broadcast on today, hallelujah, that people will be set free and delivered, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that this broadcast will be used today, hallelujah, so that, God, people will come to know who you are and come to know who Jesus Christ is in the pardoning of their sins. Hallelujah, God, in the name of Jesus, Father. And I just want to say thank you for it right now, Lord God. I want to say thank you for it right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, for we do know that we are truly living in the last days, Lord God. We're living in the last days, Father God. And, Father, this is a time for people to be saved, Father. And, God, in the name of Jesus, whatever you would have me to do, whatever you would have me to say for souls to be saved, Lord, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, that souls might be saved. Use me, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that souls will be delivered and healed, Father. In the name of Jesus, use my mouth, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that it will speak aright, Father God, that those who hear will be convicted of their sin, Lord God, and be compelled, Lord God, to come to you and serve you, the Most High. And, Father, I thank you for this in the name of Jesus. I bless you. I thank you for it, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, Father, I thank you and praise you. I give you glory and honor for this day. I thank you for every soul that's going to be saved. I thank you for all the deliverance that's going to happen today. Father God, because of your word, I thank you. I bless your name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I welcome you to Blog Talk Radio today because I think this episode is very needed. I've been speaking to a couple of people during this past weekend about this topic, and we want to just talk about unity in the body of Christ. We want to talk about how much division and how much denominations are in the church, how much isms and schisms it is in the body of Christ because of the denominations in the church, how much division it is because of the different denominations in the body of Christ. But there's a very famous scripture, and it's found in Psalms 133, verse 1. And if you have your Bible, will you please turn to Psalms 133, verse 1. And in that chapter of Psalm 133, verse 1, you will read that it says, behold how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I learned this scripture years ago because we were talking about unity. And nobody wanted to get along. Nobody wanted to do anything. Nobody wanted to get anything done. So the pastor referred us to this scripture. And it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I want to read the rest of it. Because when we stop there, it seems like there's no more. Let's just read the rest of it. It's a very short verse, chapter. So let's just read the rest of it. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the beard that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Okay? Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. He is telling to us that it is good for us to dwell together in unity. It is good for us to come together in unity so the anointing can fall down on us, so the anointing can fall down, and so that God can command the blessing. It is good for us to dwell together in unity so the anointing can come down, so the anointing can come down, so the anointing can come down, so that God command the blessing. That's where he's going to command the blessing, in the unity, in the unity. God's going to anoint unity in the body of Christ. God's going to anoint unity in the body of Christ. But what has happened in the body of Christ is that we have decided that we want to do our own thing. We want to do our own thing. We want to make sure that, you know, our church is doing this. And if your church is not doing what our church is doing, then we really don't want to fellowship with you. Well, we don't want to fellowship with you because, you know, you wear pants and we don't. We don't want to fellowship with them because they speak in tongues and we don't. We don't want to, you know, talk about any of that stuff. So we need to talk about that because as quiet as it's kept, I don't know where in the Word of God where he says to branch off in all these different denominations and then divide from one another. I don't see where God says separate from one another in the body of Christ, but he says to love one another. And this scripture in Psalm 133 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We are not dwelling together in unity in the body of Christ because each body has their own vision. They have their own dream. They have their own set of rules. They have their own criteria. This denomination says you can't have a woman bishop. This denomination says a woman can't even preach at all. This denomination says that the man is the ruler of his wife and the whole church and everybody else. This denomination says one thing, and then this denomination says something else. One denomination says a woman can't wear pants. Another denomination says a woman can't wear earrings or jewelry or any sort. Another denomination says you can't. You have to worship on Saturday, because if you don't worship on Saturday, then you're going to hell. One denomination says you can worship any day you want to, but you just can't eat pork and you can't eat any type of meat. One denomination says this, that you can lay hands on the sick and they recover. One denomination says, no, that's not true anymore. One denomination believes in the prophets. One denomination doesn't believe in the prophets. They said all the prophets died out. One denomination believes in speaking in tongues as the Holy Ghost gives utterance. Another denomination doesn't believe in speaking in tongues at all. Where are we going to come together in unity so that the power of God can come on this earth and souls can be saved, so souls can be snatched out from hell, so that souls won't even have to go that way to hell in the lake of fire. Where is it? When is the time for us to come together in unity so that God can command the blessing, so that souls will be saved, so that we can be anointed? If we come together in unity, the anointing, the oil came down from Aaron's beard, and Aaron was the priest. So the anointing is coming down from the priest and onto us. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the great high priest. And if we come together in unity, the anointing of the great high priest is going to come upon us so that we can go forth, hallelujah, and go out into the world and do what he told us to do. Glory to God. But we're so busy trying to outdo one another. We're so busy trying to talk about this denomination and ridicule that denomination and keep our denomination separate from this one. And no, we're going to do it our way. And no, we're going to do it this way. There's so much of this going on. And in the meantime, there are souls going to hell every day. There are souls going to hell every day because people are not following the word of God. People are not coming together in unity. I've seen churches the last few days that I've been riding around, seeing churches right next door to each other, different denominations right next door to each other. And you mean to tell me you're that close that your buildings are connected together and we cannot come together in unity? For God to command the blessing, for God to command the blessing. The center person is walking around looking. Look, they're not fellowshipping with each other. They don't even like that church right there.
God bless you.
They don't even like that church over there. The AMEs don't like the CMEs. The CMEs don't like the ABC, the EFGs. The Apostolics don't like the Pentecostals. The Pentecostals don't like the Church of God in Christ. The Church of God in Christ don't like the whoever. I mean, come on, it's over and over and over and over and over again. When we begin to pray and ask God to bring us together in the same mind, the same spirit, says there is one Lord, there is one faith, and there is one baptism. That's what the word of the Lord says. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We don't got so many give us obedience that we can walk and do what he tells us to do so that he can command the blessing, so that he can command the blessing, so that he can command the blessing. Hallelujah. 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 Bishop, did you have something you wanted to say?
Well, I just wanted to piggyback on what you're saying. I found this a very interesting, a very provoking, thought-provoking, and even spirit-evaluating topic that you're speaking on today. This is my wife, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I really appreciate God leading you in this direction. We really need to look at this very, very closely, because I'm going to tell you the truth. There is only one faith. There is only one faith, and all these divisions, I really do wonder, I know God is not pleased with it. I just wonder what God's going to do about it in the end. You know, which one was right? Which one is this? And this one is that. I like what you say when you quoted from St. Luke chapter 14, where it talks about going to the hedges and the highways and the byways and compelling men and women, boys and girls, old folk, young folk, everybody's folk, to the saving knowledge and to bring them to the feast, to the table where Christ dwells. Right now, I think that the world is really in a bad situation. And the church is even in a worse situation, for we're supposed to be the examples before men, and men see the division amongst us. I know I thank God that when we were had started our church, Reverend of God Church Ministries, we really were involved with the community. You and I, we visited the church next door. We visited in fellowship with the church across the street, both churches, in fact. We tried the best we could to involve ourselves in the life of the church. We had programs over there. We shared programs with each other. We supported them when they had bakes outside and sales outside. You and I would go to every church's booth and would buy something and support them. That's the kind of spirit we're supposed to have. There is no Methodist, whether it be CME, AME, UME, whatever the ME may be, we're not supposed to be divided because of it. We're not even supposed to be divided at all. I wonder what the apostles would have thought if they would have seen the division amongst us. They never started many denominations. They didn't even start only but one church, and that was the Church of Christ, the church founded by Christ, established by Christ, and perpetuated by the apostles and the disciples of Christ. Just like you say, there are denominations that believe that apostles, too, are no longer a title that men should use, that there are no longer apostles, that they, too, ended with the New Testament apostles, that those terms and those titles and those ranks and those positions no longer exist. But it's curious that some of the titles that do exist are refuted by the Bible, the title of father, the title of reverend. All those titles that we pronounce upon men, many of those titles are being denied and denounced by the word of God itself. There was only one that's been called father, and that was the Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us very clearly about that. So some of the things that we do embrace, some of the things that we do adhere to and we do go on and build our foundational truths on are not biblically based. They're man's traditions. And I think that a lot of the problem that why there's no unity is there is a power struggle. Who's going to be the boss? I know in the Methodist Church, one of the denominations that I came out of, they were discussing to unite themselves with the CMEs, the AUMPs, the UMEs, and they really wanted to unite and become one Methodist body, not many different divisions amongst the Methodist family. And one of the main issues was who's going to be the senior bishop, who had the rank, who would be the boss bishop. Who would be the bishop of bishops? How would you even divide up the districts? Would you have to weed out a bishop or two? And which ones would you weed out? Would it be the United Methodist bishop, or would it be the AME bishop? Would it be the CME bishop, or would it be the AUMP bishop? All these, the Brethren Church, were also a part of the Methodist denomination at one time or another. And so all of these different factions, as you said before, their men have built themselves castles and cathedrals and temples to their own glory. And how we know that is because I'm not going to give up my position. I'm not going to give up my title. I'm not going to give up my rank and my status within the church for anybody. We don't want to take low. Everybody wants to head for the pulpit. That's why people don't believe in apostles and prophets and even evangelists, for that matter. We don't encourage young men and women who are interested in the ministry to go into those ministries. We have lifted up the pastorate and the pulpit ministry so high that no one even is aspiring to the other ministries. But Paul himself was a missionary. He was a missionary. He had three missionary journeys that did more than any of his letters did. And how great those letters are, we preached about those letters. But as far as perpetuating the Christian church and expanding it around the world, it was through his missionary journeys. He had to get off of writing and penning letters in order for him to get to the missionary journeys. His shipwrecks, his calamities, as recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, or chapter 11, rather, are examples of his going throughout the world ministering. So we need to be about the task of doing what God would have us to do. If we would be more about the task of helping folk, loving folk, being there for folk, encouraging people, showing them the salvation of the Lord, showing them how a Christian really should live through example, through our exemplifying it through our own lives, these types of things, and not be so interested in the outward appearances of things. What somebody wears, whether we baptize in the name of Jesus alone, or whether we say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or whether we say Father and Son and Holy Ghost, all of those titles, whether we use the phrase Holy Ghost or whether we use the phrase Holy Spirit, people are even stuck on things like that. You know, all of these things that we're stuck on, that we're not doing the work God has called us to do. And God's going to hold us responsible, not so much of what we didn't do, as far as the law and all of this, but what we didn't do in terms of perpetuating the kingdom of God on earth. The Bible tells us he's waiting for the whole world to be evangelized to. Obviously, it must not be, even though TBN and other stations are around the world, there must be some location somewhere that has yet to hear the word of God. Then there's going to be, after that, the great falling away. But before the great falling away, there's supposed to be the great revival first. We haven't gotten to the great revival, let alone the great falling away. We talk about the church. Where's the great revival? Where's the great pronouncement? I don't mean we get a little scared in 9/11 and we all fall on our knees and start praying because the Twin Towers was toppled and planes hit the Pentagon and planes went to central Pennsylvania and killed folk there. I'm not talking about fear that draws us to God. I'm talking about reverence that draws us to God.
There can be no great revival as long as we stay in division with one another.
I love that. Because you know why? Because we even define revival incorrectly. Revival is not for the one out in the world. Revival, look at the word revival. It means to live again. To live again. To bring those dry bones that are the church, not the buildings, but the people in the buildings, the real church, to bring them alive again. To get them into the saving knowledge of Christ again. To get them working again. That's what we need to do, dear hearts. We need to get ourselves a revival, a true revival. And revival, if you get a convert in, that's wonderful. If you get someone who's given their lives over to Christ, that's wonderful. But a real revival is to bring life back into something that once lived and is dying again or is on respiratory support.
I think that every denomination, I don't care what it is, should stand before God and repent. I think that every denomination needs to go to God and say, God, what would you have me to do with my fellow believer? Denominations are so far apart from each other, but could be right next door to each other.
So true.
Physically, in a physical location. I saw it with my own two eyes as my sister was driving me to someplace, and I looked, I said, look at this. This church is a Baptist church, and this church is the Church of God in Christ, right next to each other, but no fellowship. Why? Because one denomination doesn't wear pants. Another denomination allows their members to smoke and drink. Another denomination speaks in tongues. The other denomination doesn't. We stand apart for these differences while people are going to hell. We stand divided on these differences while people are going to hell. The differences of women wearing pants, women being preachers, women can't do this, women can't do that, women can't say this and women can't say that. The Bible didn't say anything about a woman could not go out in the street and minister and bring souls into the kingdom. The Bible did not say anything about a woman not being able to go out there, lay hands on the sick, and they recover. The Bible didn't say anything about that. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, Jesus was saying. He didn't say anything about a denominational difference. He didn't say anything about a gender difference. He said, whoever believes in my name, whoever believes in me, these signs shall follow them that believe. But because we are so hung up on man-made structure, because we are so hung up on what man says, how we're supposed to do things, souls are being missed. Souls are being going to hell. Why? Because we're so caught up fighting one another and thinking we're better than one another instead of being out on the street doing what Jesus told us to do. Go out there and compel them to come in. But how are you going to compel them to come in? Because, no, I want them to come to my church. No, I'm not going out there because I don't want them going to that church over there. People street witnessing. If I'm a street witnessing, but they got to come to my church. No, that's not how it's supposed to be. It's not about them coming to your church. We are the church. We're supposed to take the church to them. We're supposed to compel them to come in. Why? Because they are sick. Those that are whole need not a physician. So those of us that are already born again need to go out and compel them to come in, but not compel them to come into a denomination. Compel them to come into the true and living God. Compel them to come in and receive the love of God through his son, Jesus Christ. Compel them to come in so that they might receive their salvation, that they might receive their redemption, that they might have the right to the tree of life again, glory to God, that when they die, that they might live again, hallelujah, with Jesus in a new heaven and a new earth, hallelujah, glory to God. This is what we have to be going out to compel them to come in, not going out there telling them that you got to be a Baptist, you got to be an AME, you got to be a CME, you got to be a Kojic, you got to be a whatever, whatever, whatever. Not that. That's not what it's about. It's about going out, telling people about Jesus Christ, telling people about what Jesus did on that cross, telling people about what Jesus did before he even got to the cross, because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If all denominations can just get together and go out in the streets and say that, if all denominations can get together and go out in the streets and say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. If we could all go out there and speak the same thing, and we'd be on one mind and one accord, glory to God, we would see some changes happening within this world. We would see people coming in being born again. We would see people coming in giving their lives to Christ and getting off of drugs and getting out of prostitution and coming out of homosexuality and coming out of lying and stealing and backbiting. We would see it if we all would come together in the spirit of unity. Why? Because God will command the blessing. Hallelujah. That's what his word says. He said God will command a blessing. Glory to God. And there is a scripture that says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. But we want to go out there by ourselves and do it this way. And we want to go out there by ourselves and do it that way. But Lord, how I can just imagine, hallelujah, sitting here with my eyes closed, that if we would just begin to come together in the spirit of unity and begin to go out there into the kingdom of darkness, glory to God, hallelujah, through prayer, through fasting, hallelujah, through seeking God with our whole hearts, don't you know we can begin to tear the kingdom of Satan down? Don't you know we'll begin to see people healed? Don't you know we'll begin to see people delivered in masses? I'm not talking about one or two here or there. I'm talking about them being delivered and set free in masses. If we could just come together in unity so that God can command the blessing. Jesus. Are you still on the line, sir?
Yes.
I think it's a sad state that the church is in, and we get mad when we say that the school doesn't want prayer in the church anymore. We get mad at the church, at the schools, because they don't want prayer in the schools anymore. What did we as the body of Christ do to fight that from being taken out of school? We sat back and we watched it and allowed it to happen.
And the sad part about that is the millions and millions upon millions of Christians, just in America alone, we're not talking about the world. There's 600 million around the world. I mean, you know, there's billions really around the world that are Christian or profess to be. And yet we had a woman with 1,000 signatures on a petition taking prayer out of school.
And it happened just like that.
1,000. We know churches with more than 1,000 people. You and I both know.
Churches,
we build
with, more
churches
than,
with more than 1,000 members.
And the thing is that if we do a real search of the scripture,
mm-hmm.
especially in the New Testament, where the church began, okay, where we're talking about in the book of Acts, if we really want to do a search of the scriptures and you want to talk about them being on one accord, I want to start in the book of John first. John chapter 17, starting at verse 20. And Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. May be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Do you hear this theme going through here? That they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. He said, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may be may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. He's talking about unity. Him and his Father are one. And he says, just as you and I are one, I want to be one with them too, Father. I want to be one with them. And he is saying that we all need to be one so that the world may know that the Father sent him. The world needs to know that God has sent us to compel the world to come in. But if we're biting and devouring one another, if we're coming against each other because of denominational differences, if we're coming against each other because somebody worships on Sunday and somebody else worships on Monday or somebody else worships on Saturday, we're coming against each other because of these things. But we need to know that we need to come together in unity so that God can command the blessing. Acts 1:14 says, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. They all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, in Acts 2:1, they were all with one accord in one place. Teresa wasn't over there in the Kojic church. Joel wasn't over there in the AME church, okay? Shirley wasn't over there in the Baptist church, all right? Peach wasn't over there in the Lutheran church. Symphony wasn't over there in the Seventh-day Adventist church, all right? They were all together with one accord in one place. And Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. But this was one accord, one accord, one accord. And I want to go back to the book of Acts. I want to go back to Acts chapter 1. I want to go back to Acts chapter 1 because Acts chapter 1 is a very, very important book in the Bible, and I'm not saying that all the rest of them are not important to what I am saying. Acts chapter 1, okay, Acts chapter 1, and I just want to read this, I want to read this out loud because we skip over scriptures and skip over scriptures and skip over scriptures, but I just want to read it. And it says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Okay? And these all continued with one accord in prayer in the upper room, with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and the number of them that were gathered together were about 120. He said, men and brethren, the scriptures must needs have been fulfilled which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. And then he's going to go on into this speech that he gives. But the whole point of the matter is that these people were on one accord. They were in one place. And they were not only there in one accord in one place, but they were praying, okay, and supplication. They were praying. They were asking God. They were waiting on God. They were waiting on God. Just like Jesus told them, they were waiting on him. They weren't sitting there saying, okay, now we're going to start this denomination. You want to start that denomination. We're not going to your church because we don't like the way you dress. But we're not going to go to your church because y'all don't sing right. We're not going to go to your church because y'all speak in tongues. We don't know nothing about no speaking in tongues. So, no, they don't do that over here in the book of Acts. They are sitting together with one accord in one place, and they're in prayer and supplication. They're in prayer and supplication. And it wasn't just the men that were named in verse 13, but it was also women there. The Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there too. And Jesus' brothers were there. But they were all with one accord in one place. And they were praying. It says with prayer and supplication. They were praying. They were not gossiping. They were not talking about people. They were not trying to tear one another down. They were not talking about, well, they think they're a bishop, but they ain't been consecrated yet. They haven't been talking about, oh, that's a woman, she ain't got nothing to say, what's she doing here? No, they were in one accord, in one place, waiting, like Jesus told them, because you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire not many days hence. And lo and behold, didn't it happen? Why? Because they were obedient. They were in one accord, in one place, praying and making supplication to the Lord. And God sent the Holy Ghost. He anointed them, and he commanded the blessing. That's what he did. That's what he did. That's what he did. And they obeyed, and God commanded the blessing. They got filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's that word again. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, as it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under the heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in the Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Be this known to you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. When God had raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." It was not possible that death would hold him. Okay? We can go on and on and on and continue to read this chapter, but the whole point of the matter is they were on one accord. They were in one place. They had the same mind. They had the same mind. There was no divisions among them, and the Holy Ghost fell on them, and they began to speak in tongues, and the Spirit of God gave them utterance. That is the power of God. That is the anointing of God that came upon them. But they were sitting there in unity. They were praying and making supplications to the Lord. That's what they were doing. Their minds were on Jesus. Their minds were on praying. Their minds were on making supplications. That's what their minds were on. And because they were obedient and sat there and waited for the Holy Ghost, and they were sitting there praying and sitting there making supplications, God commanded the blessing. He sent the Holy Ghost that he promised he was going to send. He sent that Holy Ghost. Ghost, and the Holy Ghost came, and they began to speak with other tongues. And all the people that were around them, that spoke different languages, heard everything that God was saying to them through these people, because these people began to speak the other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Everybody knew what they were talking about, because the Spirit of God gave them utterance. We can't even come together and hear what God wants to tell us in English. We can't even come together and hear what the Spirit of God wants to tell us in English, because we're so busy divided. If God wanted us to come together in unity so he could give us a word in the spirit, and somebody would be able to come together and interpret it in tongues, or that if everybody sat down and began to interpret it, and if somebody Chinese was sitting next to you, they would understand. If somebody was Spanish sitting next to you, they would understand. Somebody from Africa, they would understand what you're saying. But that is God commanding the blessing. But we got to stay together in unity. We got to be together in unity so that God can command the blessing. But we're so busy trying to get everything else together. You know, we want everything else to happen. We want this to happen, and we want that to happen. And, you know, we want God to command the blessing while we're not doing anything he has told us to do. Our churches can't even come together. Why can't the AME church get together with the Baptist church and let's go out and do street witnessing? Why can't we have a flash mob? I'm getting ready to have a flash mob. I'm getting ready to do a flash mob. I'm going to have a flash mob of Christians so that we can take the land. A flash mob. If you want to be a part of a flash mob, we're going to have a flash mob, and we're going to go out. We're going to see how many we can get to just go out and minister the word of God and go out and pray for people. We're not going out to get them to join churches, but we want to go out in a flash mob and get people born again. We want to do this. Go out in the streets. Go out in a bad part of town. Go out in the part of town where you say, you know, I would never catch myself over there. In a flash mob, let's take over their land. Let's take over their land. The drug addicts are taking over the land. Let's take over the land in the name of Jesus. He didn't call us to sit in a church with the four walls and the pew. He didn't call us to go just sit there. He called us so we can go get fed, and then we can go out and compel them to come in so that they can get fed. This is what we need to do. We need to organize a flash mob in the Philadelphia area so we can go out and compel these people to come in. We don't have to be from the same church. We don't have to be from the same denomination, but we got the same God. We got the same Lord, and the same one is saying to us, we need to go out and get them and compel them to come in, but we got to be on one accord. We got to be united. Hallelujah. We got to be united. Just like I saw, you know, the little Trayvon that got killed by that guy. Everybody were coming together. They were coming together about Trayvon. Now, little Trayvon, and I don't mean to be rude, but little Trayvon was dead when everybody came together. Everybody was having marches. Everybody was doing this so they could get justice for Trayvon. But I'm saying, let's get justice for the unsaved soul. Let's get justice for the soul that's getting ready to go to hell because you don't want to minister to them. Let's get justice for the one that never even heard of Jesus Christ because you don't want to tell them about it. Let's get justice for the one that needs hands laid on them so they can recover. Let's get justice in the name of Jesus and just go out and lay hands on people and minister to people. Get your tracts, get your word, get your Bible, glory to God, and let's just get together and pray. Let's get together and pray on one accord and go out and do a flash mob salvation. Yes, we can do that. Why not? Everybody else is flash mobbing about everything else. Why can't we flash mob for Jesus? Why can't we flash mob for souls? Why can't we flash mob for people to come into the kingdom of God? I'm challenging you out there in radio land, if you are listening to me, this is Evangelist Teresa Scott, that we will come together and get a flash mob going, and we will meet somewhere. We will meet. If we have to meet over in Fairmount Park, if we have to meet over there by the Mann Center, if we have to meet over there somewhere, we need to meet somewhere. We're going to meet somewhere and do a flash mob for Jesus and get people saved. Why can't we do it?
Why can't we do it? We complain about the ones that go knock on the door, you know, to hand out those little tracts and, you know, what they call themselves. We get upset with them. Why we can't have a flash mob for Jesus? I don't understand it. A flash mob for Jesus. That's the end of this broadcast, because now I got a new mission. We're going to have a flash mob for Jesus. And we're going to get souls saved. We're going to come together and pray for an hour, and then we're going to go out into the kingdom of out there into the kingdom of darkness, and we're going to bring souls into the kingdom of light in the name of Jesus. Yes, we are. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I wish I had more people on the phone line today. I wish I had more people in the chat room today so we can talk about this thing, because I'm telling you, it's time for the people to get it together. It's time for us to get up off our do nothing. It's time for us to stop complaining that this person is not doing this or that person is doing it wrong. It's time for us to get it together and get out here and get these souls saved in the name of Jesus. Are you with me? I don't know if you are, but guess what? If I have to have a flash mob out there by myself, that's going to be something on you. It's going to be something on you, because God wants us to go out there and get his people. He wants us to pull these people out of darkness. He wants to pull them up out of darkness into the marvelous light. He wants us to bring them in, glory to God. He wants us to bring them in, bring them to the feast. The feast of the Lord is ready. He wants us to bring them in. He wants to bring them in. He wants us to compel them to come in. Won't you join me? Won't you join me to bring them in, glory to God. Hallelujah. Look, I don't know about you. I'm planning this thing for Monday, this Monday coming. I don't even know what the date is, but this Monday coming, we're going to plan this. I'm going to get on Facebook, and I'm going to order this thing up, and I'm going to call for a flash mob, and I'm going to call us to meet at the gallery downtown at 9th and Market. I'm going to call us to meet down there at 12 o'clock. If you're going to meet us down there at 12 o'clock for the flash mob on Monday, wear a red shirt. We're going to wear a red shirt, okay? Get yourself a little cardboard box and a cardboard and make your little signs that says John 3:16, for God so loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's do this, City of Philadelphia. We can do this flash mob. If people can do it for foolishness, why we can't do it for souls? Why we can't do it for salvation? I'm just saying, we need to do this. We need to do this. This is what I'm saying. Flash mob Monday. Flash mob Monday. My husband is in a wheelchair. He's going to be right out there with me. If it's not raining, if it's raining, we're going to postpone it to the following Monday. But if it's not raining on this Monday coming, we are going to be flash mobbing downtown. And we're going to be holding up signs with scriptures on it, talking about God's love, talking about how Jesus died for our sins, how God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus. If you have any questions, please call me 215-747-1514 or 215-252-6722. We are going to flash mob Monday in the city of Philadelphia at 12 noon downtown at the gallery. And we're going to walk the streets with our signs on talking about Jesus. Have your pen and pencil ready. Take names, because there's going to be people out there that want to be saved. There's going to be people out there that don't want to be saved. But let's be ready for the ones that are. Begin to pray. Begin to fast in the name of Jesus. Begin to call out everybody that you want to be saved. Begin to call out those that you don't even know, and ask God to take the spiritual blinders off their eyes that Satan has put on their eyes according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, because the God of this world has blinded them that they will not believe the truth. But we say in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that we are taking the blinders off of them right now in Jesus' name. And we're saying, hallelujah, that there will be no division, no denominational schism or ism or division that will stop this flesh mob from going forth in Jesus' name. Glory to God. We command the kingdom of darkness to loose everyone who's supposed to be born again. Loose them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Glory to God. And it will be done. It will be done in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Not because I'm saying it, glory to God, but because that's in my spirit to do a flash mob. That wasn't nowhere in my mind. But I believe we need to get out and we need to do this thing. I believe we need to get out and do this thing. Glory to God. Guest number 816, I don't know who you are, but thank you for joining us. And if you're in the Philadelphia area, if you could join us on Monday, we're going to go out and do this flash mob, and we're going to get souls saved for the kingdom of God. For he said, go out and compel them to come in. Go out and compel them to come in. This is what he said. Go out and compel them to come in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I done got excited. Hallelujah. I done got excited. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, guess what? I'm about to get off this broadcast because I got some preparations to make, glory to God, for Flash Mob Monday. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If anything changes, I'll let you know. But check me out on Facebook. I am Teresa, God is making me over again, Scott, on Facebook. You can hit me up there if you want to say something to me. In my inbox, you can say something to me. In my inbox, you can also call me, 215-747-1514. My cell phone is 215-252-6722. If you want to get on the line, you can call 323-693-3054. Glory to God. And you know what else we need to do? Flash mobs at each and every bus, at each and every train stop along the Market Street line. We need to have people at every train stop holding up signs talking about Jesus, just standing there. You ain't got to say nothing because somebody who wants Jesus is going to come right to you and going to say, I want Jesus. Hallelujah. There's going to be many naysayers, but there's going to be somebody that wants Jesus every stop that we get off of. Somebody needs to be at each station. There needs to be enough people. There'll be enough people at every station from 69th Street Terminal all the way to the Frankfurt Terminal. There needs to be people at every stop holding up signs talking about Jesus. Glory to God. This one, we need to take the land back. Glory to God. It's time to take the land back. We're talking about the murders, and we're talking about the fighting. We're talking about all of this other stuff, the drugs going on, but we're sitting around doing nothing. Flash mob, glory to God, about to happen. Talk to you later.